What we have here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, is the first recorded miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, which involved the Sea of Galilee. Now, in this passage, in verse number 1, you'll see that it is referred to as the Gennesaret Sea. That was an ancient name for the same part of water. But throughout the Lord's ministry, there are a number of different occasions when we find the Lord performing miracles at the Sea of Galilee. One of those miracles was that miracle of the fish which caught the coin in its mouth. There is also another great catch of fish, another miracle recorded at the Sea of Galilee in John's Gospel, chapter 21. But here, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, we find this group of fishermen washing their nets by the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes by and He commandeers their fishing boat and He uses it as a floating pulpit out in the middle of the sea in order to preach and teach the assembled crowd. Just the previous night, the boat had been used to catch fish, or not catch fish as the case was here. These fishermen, as we see from verse number 5, have been toiling all night, yet they caught nothing. The word toil there in verse number 5 means that they were exhausted. Perhaps the sea was rough, as often it would have been. And the night was long, and yet they came home empty-handed. They caught nothing. It was a very unsuccessful fishing trip. But you know, something spectacular was now about to happen. One of the great aspects of this account are those broken nets that are referred to there in verse number 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Because as we'll see, God used these broken nets to commission and to challenge these fishermen to go on and to do greater things for God. This morning, as we consider this passage together, as we look at these broken nets, I want us to see this morning that no matter where you may be in your Christian life or your Christian experience, God always has something better for you. Perhaps you've come to God's house this morning feeling a bit like these fishermen, feeling useless. Feeling you've done all that you can, and yet there's nothing to show for your work. You feel somewhat of a failure, as these fishermen did. You feel that you've tried, but you've failed. And you don't see any point in going on. Well, may God show us all today that through here, this Gospel account in Luke's Gospel 5, that there are better days, and that there are brighter days ahead of us. That God always has a better plan. And that we should never allow the difficulties or the discouragements or the disappointments to hold us back from going forward for God. That even though we feel that we have nothing more to offer, that even perhaps like these fishermen, our mood isn't great and our esteem is low, may we see that God can still do something remarkable for us. Here was the Lord teaching these men that no matter what state spiritually we may be in, that we need to press on. And we need to press through. We need to allow the Lord to do those great and mighty things for us. So as we consider these broken nets this morning, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the assignment that was set. The assignment that was set. Look at verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, who of course is Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Here is the assignment that the Lord set these fishermen. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. As we think of this assignment, I want you to see the setting of it. Notice the context of this assignment. Notice when it was given. Look at verse 4 again. Now when he, that is Christ, had left speaking. The Lord has just delivered a sermon. He has preached from that floating pulpit out in the middle of the sea. But as soon as he had finished speaking, he sets them this assignment. That's interesting. You see, what the Lord was doing here was showing these fishermen that you're not only to hear the word, but you are to actually go and do the word. After the sermon, there was service. And they had to apply the word that they had heard to their own hearts and lives. And as we'll go on to see, this sermon affected their lives. This sermon made an impact on their business and on their livelihoods. You see, this sermon was to be lived out in their daily lives, in their business, and in their employment. There's an important principle there. Our worship and our work should never be seen as two separate entities. They should never be separated from each other. The Lord has spoken unto them, and now what the Lord spoke, they were to go and do. One of the big problems in the church today is that there are those who shout amen to the preacher, sing at the top of their voice in church, and yet the rest of the week they live like the biggest scoundrels, and it seems that the message they have heard has made no impact on how they live and how they conduct their lives. You see, this message was to be lived out in their lives. What they heard was how they were to act. Not only the setting of this assignment, but notice as well here the specifics of this assignment. What were they to do? Look at verse 4 again. Launch out. Let down. Launch out. Let down. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine how Simon Peter and his friends must have felt? We've been out all night. And they've caught nothing. What's the point of launching out now? What's the point of letting down our nets now? You see, Christ commanded them to go further. Launch out. That means that they were to go to a place that they had not been in before. They were to launch out into waters that seemed impossible and unreachable. They were to go out into the deep and let down their nets. You see, this assignment seemed impossible. This assignment seemed too hard. There were too many difficulties. Look what Simon says in verse number 5. We've toiled all night. We've caught nothing. There was the problem of weariness. There was a problem of emptiness. Now, how often do we feel like that in our Christian life? Weary and empty. And we don't feel like going on. Or like these fishermen, we see there's no point in doing anything. But dear believer, we must press on. And we must press forward in the work of God despite the difficulties and despite the disappointments. We must go forward out into the deep. Because as they went forward, as we'll see, as they let down their nets, the Lord was going to fill those nets. But they had to go. You see, the Lord had those fish already prepared. Every single fish that was going to be caught in those nets, the Lord had them prepared, but the disciples had to go. They had to launch out into the deep. You know, as you think about what the Lord said to them, launch out into the deep, let down your nets. This was quite a step for these disciples. This was a big step for these followers of Christ. This was a step of faith. Launch out into the deep, those waters that seem difficult. And they were to do something that they had not been engaged in before. Oh, listen, you've paddled long enough in the shallow waters. You've spent enough time paddling about in those waters that only cover your feet. Now they were to go out into waters that were deep, because there the Lord was going to command the blessing. You see, if these fishermen stayed close to the shore, they'd only have caught little fish. And the Lord said, the bigger fish are further on out. If they were to increase their catch, they were to go further. They were to go onward. This was a step of faith. A step, if you like, into the unknown. But they were to go. How often do we hold back in our Christian life? How often do we allow ourselves just not to go that little bit further because we're just not sure how it will all work out? And yet the Lord is saying to us, go out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. He's calling to take a step of faith. That was the assignment that was set. But not only the assignment that was set, I want you to see secondly with me here the authority that was stated. The authority that was stated. Look at verse 5. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Look at verse 5. Look at the end of verse 5. What was the authority that they acted upon? The Word of God. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Their authority for their activity was the Word of the Lord. They were to launch out, let down their nets, because this was the Lord's plan. It wasn't their plan. Their plan was to give up. Their plan was to stay where they were. But the Lord's plan was to go further. The Word of God gave them the authority on which to go further. The Word of God was their guiding principle. And as they took this step of faith, they did so based not on their own notions, but on what the Lord had said. As we think of this authority, notice the person in it. Verse 5, look what the Lord, what Simon says. Simon answering said unto him, Master. Master. That word master there means one who is in charge. Means one to whom we owe our allegiance. Peter here is acknowledging the lordship of Christ in his life, and he calls him Master. And he was saying, you're the Lord of my life. I take my commands and my direction from you. Dear child of God, if we profess Christ as our Savior, then He is our Master. He is the one to whom we take our directions and our command from. Yes, of course, we have to seek to obey those who have the rule over us, whether in government or employment or in business or wherever. But ultimately, folks, ultimately, it is Christ who is the Master of our lives. It is the voice of the Master that we must listen to and that we must obey. Is He our Master? Or is it the case that we just pay lip service? Do we own Christ as Master of our lives? Not only the person here of this authority, but notice the priority of it. Back again into verse 5. Nevertheless,
at Thy word. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. What's Peter doing here? He is laying priority on the word of his master. He didn't do this because he felt it was the best plan. He didn't act on what others thought. He acted and he obeyed the word of the Lord. Nevertheless, at Thy word. Notice those words. Very important. What's Peter saying? He's saying, Thy word and Thy word alone is how I act and how I behave. This is maybe a good time to remind ourselves of one of the great solas of the Reformation. Because one of those solas of the Reformation is sola scriptura, or scriptures alone, or scriptures only. Have we lost sight of the reforming principles that our fathers and forefathers stood for? Is the scripture our guiding principle for living and for behaving? The Westminster Confession of Faith is a tremendous discourse on all of this. And the little shorter catechism, which I believe everybody should know, asks the question, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? What's the answer? The Word of God. The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. How do we glorify God? How do we enjoy Him? By adhering to the Word of God. Sola Scriptura. You see, the Word of God must take priority in our lives. The Word of God must take priority to human reasoning or human thinking. Here was a man who had failed the Lord, yet here was a man who was giving the highest priority to the Word of God in determining what his duty was. How did he know what he should do? Because God told him. How do we live our lives? How do we conduct our lives? Because of what man tells us to do? No. Because of what God tells us to do. Look at that word, nevertheless, in verse 5. Nevertheless. It means that while all human reasoning and all human arguments would argue against what you're telling me to do, because remember, he has just brought his excuses. He said, we've toiled all night, we've taken nothing. Human reasoning would say, this is something you shouldn't do. Human reasoning would say, Peter, you shouldn't launch out into the deep. You shouldn't let down your nets. But Simon says, no. At Thy word. Nevertheless, despite what I think, despite what my thoughts are in the matter, I must obey the Word of God. And as I've said, I believe this serves as a timely reminder to the Church of Christ today. The Word of God and the Word of God alone and only is our direction. The Word of God must take priority over every other word. How much attention and adherence is paid to the words of man today? Yet how few seem to be listening to the Word of God. Human thinking, human teaching might say otherwise. Nevertheless, at Thy word. There's the person, there's the priority. But notice the promise in this authority. Let down your nets, verse 4. For a draught. There is the promise of blessing. And Peter said, I will let down the nets at your command. I'd obey your word. On the basis of that obedience, he would enjoy the blessing. And we wonder today, why are we not enjoying the blessing of God? I wonder, is it because we're not obeying the Word of God? We accuse the world of sidelining and marginalizing the Bible. But is it the case that the church has also sidelined and also marginalized the Bible as well? Oh, surely not. Fundamental Bible-believing churches adhering to the Bible. Of course we would do that, I wonder. The promise here was there will be a draft of fish. In other words, as you obey me, I'll bless you. You see, them that honor the Lord honors. And the Lord was going to honor Peter and these group of fishermen as they obeyed Him. The authority that was stated, it was the Word of God. May we never, never move away from what God's Word says to us. We do it at our peril. The assignment that was set, the authority that was stated. But as we close, I want you to see now the abundance that was staggering. The abundance that was staggering. You see, when God gives a promise, He fulfills a promise. God wasn't going to send those men out into the depths of the Sea of Galilee just to make a mockery of them. He was going to bless them. These fishermen found that to be so. You look at the promptness of this abundance. Verse 6. And when they had done this. You see, Peter didn't waste any time in submitting himself to the Word of God. When they had done this. There was no delay in letting down their nets. Delayed obedience is really disobedience. And look at verse 6 again. They did it entirely. When they had done this, it means that when they had launched out into the deep, when they had let down their nets, when they obeyed the Lord entirely and completely, this just wasn't partial obedience. This was total obedience to the Word of God. They just didn't launch out into the deep. But they launched out into the deep. They let down their nets. They didn't pick and choose. They did entirely as the Lord had commanded. The promptness, but notice then the plenty. Verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Isn't that what God promised? Isn't that what God said would happen? In verse 4, let down your net for a draft. Well, here's the Word of God coming true. A great multitude of fishes. Now think about it. If Peter and his fellow fishermen had just stayed on the shore washing their nets, they would never have experienced this. If they had looked at the situation and if they had considered the command that God had given to them and thought, this is not for us, this is too difficult, this is too hard, they would never have experienced this. This was theirs for the taking. But they had to go at the call and at the command of God. Now there were plenty of fish in the net. No empty nets now. In fact, as you read in verse 6, that their net break, it means that it came under such strain. Such was the multitude of fish. Do you see that God not only blesses, but God blesses abundantly. Before they were lamenting the lack of fish, they were at rock bottom, but now they had plenty of fish. And folks, bring that into our own situation. Bring that into our own lives.
We can grumble and complain and murmur about all that's going on. And we can stay there. We can stay in those shallow waters. But the Lord's calling us to go further out into the deep. To go further in a Christian living and a Christian service for Him. When we obey God, when we are true to His word and true to His command, then He will bless. As I prepared for this message, the Lord reminded me the promise that He gave me last year for the work of God here in Sandown. As this time last year, we made our preparations to come back to church after a period of lockdown. And the Lord said in Joshua 3 and 5, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I make no secret of the fact that last year was difficult. It was discouraging. It was disappointing. We felt we had toiled all night and caught nothing. The Lord said, I'll do wonders among you. And thank God today for how He has fulfilled that word. Thank God today for souls saved. Thank God today for growth of grace in the life of God's people. But this is just a start. There are more wonders for us to see. There are more blessings for us, I believe. Yes, it's going to be hard work. These men weren't going to find these fish just by the seashore. They had to go and work. They had to labor. But as they labored, the Lord blessed. We must not be found wanting. We need to launch out into the deep, and we need to let the nets down, and we need to see God work. Not because I say so. Not because of an elder or a committee man in our church. Not because of any word of man, but because of the word of God, we need to go further. We need to launch out into the deep. We need to let down our nets, and we need to see that great multitude of fish. Because remember, this was only an object lesson. Those fish caught in that net were only an object lesson for Simon Peter. Because what does the Lord then call Peter to do in a few verses down? Go and be fishers of men. He says, what I've done for you in the temporal, I'll do for you in the spiritual. There's the promptness and the plenty of this abundance. But notice, as we close, the partnership of this abundance. Do you know, verse 7 was a real thrill to my heart when I read it. Look what it says. And they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. There's the partnership and the work. There's the unity. That unity that I spoke of last week. Brethren and sisters, we're laborers together. We're workers together. We labor together. We work together. In this part of God's ministry where He has placed us. And we must continue to work together. They beckoned on to their partners. Come and help. And I call to you today as your minister, as your pastor, come and help us. There's a work to be done. There are souls to be reached. There's ground to be gained and won for Christ. We need workers. We need future Sunday school teachers, explorers club workers, bus drivers, youth workers, summer camp workers. We need future deacons and elders in the work of God here in Sandown. And my appeal to you is, come and join us. Yes, I'm coming back to that subject of membership. Come and be a member of this church. Identify yourself with this local church. And together let's see God at work. Let's see God give us the increase. God, give us the problem that these fishermen had. Too big a catch. Not enough room. Not enough space. Do you know what? Our God's still able today. It doesn't matter today what restrictions or what difficulties there may be. Our God is still able to give the increase. Peter and these other fishermen, just a few hours before, they were despondent. They were dejected. They toiled all night. They'd caught nothing. But now as they went back and launched out into the deep, their service was renewed. Their energy was revived. And they saw God do a mighty miracle for them. They saw God fulfill His word. They saw God honor His promise. And their disappointment was turned into delight. Because they took God at His word. They obeyed God. They went forward and went further in obedience to the word of God. God never calls us to take a step of faith, to shame us, to mock us, but rather to bless us. May we not be found wanting. May we go forward obeying and trusting God and see Him give the increase. See Him send the blessing. God, give us broken nets in our service for the Master. May the Lord bless His word.